With an uptick in brown bears around Haines, authorities say addressing bear attractants is key to keeping people and bears apart. And at the Alderworks Writers Retreat in Dyea, LGBTQ advocate Liz Seaton is writing a book about the murder of a trans woman in 2008 that helped change federal law. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Corinne Smith. Those stories are up next. After a late snowmelt, Chilcot Valley brown bears are out of hibernation and looking for food. Last year, there was a record number of bears killed, which launched several community initiatives to address bear attractants. Those prevention efforts should serve Haines well this year, say biologists and public safety officials. Almost every day, sometimes twice a day, Haines residents are receiving NICS alerts from the Haines Police Department that there is a bear in the area. This week, there was an alert during the afternoon that a brown bear was seen on Main Street headed towards the school. Alaska Department of Fish and Game wildlife biologist Carl Koch says with the late snowmelt, there's been less vegetation and bears are scavenging for food.
And they have an excellent sense of smell. Some say it's, you know, as good or better than a bloodhound.
Koch says beginning in 2019, salmon runs and berry yields were poor, leading to intense scavenging activity for bears and for Haines.
The landfill was a little bit more secure, but there was an awful lot of, you know, freezers and things like that that bears had been getting into, including some, you know, dumpsters that were unsecure and things like that.
Last year, there were a record number of bears in and around Haines, and even breaking into homes and cars, meaning they were food conditioned. In total, there were 452 calls to Haines Police and an unprecedented 46 bears killed. Haines Police Chief Heath Scott says that is to be avoided this year, but he is still concerned. At this time last year, there were 52 bear-related calls, according to Scott. This year, there's been 35.
So they're tracking pretty closely. I think we're going to have an as-involved year as we did last year. So we're just going to help keep everyone informed about what's going on and try and hope that we prevent some of these interactions.
Wildlife biologist Carl Koch says Haines has already put several prevention measures into place which should serve the community well this year. There's more fencing at the Haines dump, a new bear task force, the NICS alert system for sightings, and a bear ordinance. Residents are required to secure trash cans and any other attractants like chicken coops, pet food, or anything outside or in cars.
You know, there's certainly no judgment here. You know, we live around bears. People are going to have bears come in their yard. We just know that if things are really secured well, the number of calls will be more manageable and it'll be better for everybody in the community.
For more resources or information about living with bears, you can see their website at alaskabears.alaska.gov. In 2008, Angie Zapata was murdered in Colorado because she was transgender. Now, Liz Seaton, one of the people who helped prosecute her murderer, is writing a book detailing the story at the Alderworks Writers Retreat in Dyea, Alaska. As KHNS's Mike Swayze reports, Seaton's new book will describe what happened and its significance in inspiring new laws and protections from hate crimes.
June is Pride Month, and as author Liz Seaton describes, the month is a time to celebrate being part of the LGBTQ community. But it's also time to reflect on the growth of the LGBTQ movement.
But one of the things that Pride Month does is provide an opportunity for important stories from the community to be told, and Angie's is certainly an important story.
Angie Zapata was an 18-year-old transgender Latina woman from Colorado.
Angie, who was assigned male and given a male name at birth, liked things that were feminine. She felt female, and as she grew older, she chose the name Angie for herself.
She liked things like makeup, high heels, and shopping with her best friend. She was interested in pursuing cosmetology and competing in the Miss Latino pageant. But that never happened.
So Angie met a man online named Alan Ray Andrade.
They arranged a date and spent the following 3 days living together, developing a sexual relationship. But when she didn't show up to babysit for her sister Monica's children a few days later, her family grew concerned and went to look for her.
She didn't show up for work, so finally they used the spare key that Monica had to her apartment, and they went in and they found her there.
She was found beaten to death. Nobody at the time knew who did it. The story went coast to coast, garnering national media attention. After 2 weeks, police were called to a neighboring town about a noise complaint.
He was sitting in his car in the middle of the night, blaring loud music, and so a noise complaint was made.
But it wasn't his car. It was Angie's mother's car, which he had stolen. Andrade was arrested for outstanding traffic warrants that night, but gave police a full confession about the murder, saying he had killed Angie Zapata with a fire extinguisher.
But as it later turned out, the police had violated his Miranda rights, because one of the Miranda rights is the right to say, "I'm done being questioned." It's the right to remain silent.
So a judge ruled much of the confession had to be suppressed, and the case went to trial. The defense argued that Zapata had not told Andrade she was transgendered, and when he found out, in a crime of passion, he murdered her. But the jury disagreed, and Andrade was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
The success in Angie's case happened the same year that the federal hate crimes law was under consideration in Congress. And her case, when the jury convicted unanimously on all counts, helped us to win the federal hate crimes law.
The Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act was passed by Congress in 2009, and it added new protections against crimes based on gender, disability, gender identity, and sexual orientation. To date, at least 29 transgendered people have been murdered in America this year. Seton is at the end of her residency at Alterworks in Dyea. She's made massive progress on her first book during her time in the remote Alaska retreat, but still found time to take occasional breaks and enjoy the serene beauty of West Creek or help pull weeds from the Alderworks garden. She hopes to have the book ready to publish sometime next year, but doesn't as yet have a title. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
For KHNS, I'm Corinne Smith. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read these stories and others on our website at khns.org. You can also subscribe to KHNS News on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts.